Blog Talk Radio.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me, oh Lord. I'm on my knees, crying.
Good evening. My name is Stacy Lunsford, and you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking View talk show. And tonight, our topic is what constitutes single parenting. And I have a special guest tonight. My co-host is Deborah Venice Capers. And she is going to start off with this discussion tonight. And before I turn the mic over to her, I would like to take this opportunity to share a little bit about her background. Venice M. Capers is a certified empowerment coach, author, speaker, and leadership consultant. Her mission statement is to inspire, motivate, and empower individuals as they identify and accept the challenge to achieve an optimum level of fulfillment and success in their personal, business, and spiritual realities. Venice Capers, also known as Deborah, is a native New Yorker who currently resides in Raleigh, North Carolina. Her life is devoted to fulfilling her purpose, leading individuals who are ready to identify and uproot patterns and cycles which provoke unfavorable outcomes in their lives. She is the founder and CEO of Empowered for Elevation Services, LLC, which provides coaching and consulting services. She is humbled and honored by her greatest challenge and achievement as a mother of four kings. Like most, Venice has faced many obstacles. However, she has allowed her trials and tribulations to develop her, that of define her. Her pain has become her purpose and a catalyst for her passion. She is surely to exemplify in her work as she guides clients to a place where they are achieving the outcomes they desire and deserve. Venice has been nominated for both Author of the Year and Woman on the Rise by ACHI Magazine for her community leadership and her self-published books. And the first book is Coming Out of the Darkness, There is Hope After the Hurt, Awakened, Reflections of a Grateful Black Woman, and We All Have the Same Daddy. And the last one is Sister for Real. Each one of these books are available on her website, and I encourage you to visit VeniceCapers.com, and that is www, V as in Victor, I, N as in Nancy, I as in ice cream, SECAPERS.com. And she will be giving her contact information throughout the show. And the speaking points for Venice is cultivating confidence, the treasures, and transparency. And I love that one. That's my specialty there. Find an opportunity in opposition, maximizing your minimum, forging forward through forgiveness, distracted by the detour. Preparation validates your expectations. So she also has consulting services for organizational leadership, family conflict resolution, youth mentorship, women empowerment, leadership development. And at this time, I would like to present to some and introduce to others Miss Venice M. Capers, also known as Deborah, and she is truly a prophet of God, called by God, And I am so honored to have you as my co-host, and I turn the mic over to you.
Wow, Stacy, I am blessed and humbled to be here. It is a pleasure to be a part of this dynamic team of ladies, and just to be asked to be a part is humbling all by itself. I want to celebrate you for offering a stage, an opportunity for us to come and have such challenging but necessary dialogue. I celebrate all that you are and all that what you do, and I so appreciate you. I would like to greet all of the panelists. Good evening. Happy Friday. And to all the listeners, I'd like to say happy Friday to you as well. So I appreciate you so very much. I will do my best not to be before you long, but this topic as a single parent, single parenting, is near and dear to me for several reasons. One, because I have been one for several years of four young men, one who has multiple disabilities that I still care for as a single parent, even now, in spite of his age at 31 years old. But it's something that we see in our community quite often, and you understand that parenting is no easy feat, as it is, but to do it single-handedly, whether you are a female, a mother, or a father, it poses significant challenges that may not have otherwise be there when there's, your partner is still present in the process. There are over 15.3 million single-parent households that are headed by mothers and over 3.7 million households that are headed by fathers, which we often ignore, but fathers, we see you, as of 2020. So I thought it was something to speak about, and again, it's really dear to my heart as I am a people watcher. I pay close attention to those that are surrounding me because I want to learn. I'm still a learner. I consider myself to be a life learner. And it's beyond a significant role. The impact of single parenting significantly, single parenthood significantly impacts our society. It impacts our communities. It impacts our relationships. Our socioeconomic status of such communities are impacted. Educational opportunities for both parent and child, children are impacted and impeded oftentimes, as well as the part that we still carry sometimes well into our adulthood, the social, emotional, and mental health wellness of being a part of the single-parent household, and our self-awareness, right? Who am I? What part of me do I feel like is missing because one of my parents were absent, and or were they? Hence the conversation. So there's no one to argue the fact that there's typically a void that most witness to in single-parent homes, oftentimes because we have the fantasy about it, what it would be like if mom was there and what it would be like if dad was there, because we have nothing else to draw off of except sometimes the negative banter that our other parent who is present may have as it relates to our absent parent or just a parent who doesn't live in the home. So those feelings of abandonment and rejection and lack of self-awareness and lowered self-esteem is often elevated and shows up at the forefront. And again, we're still talking about single parenthood, right? So there are things that are reduced in us and then ultimately for us in such environments. You find that single parenthood is now, if you have the internet and you see, you have Facebook or Instagram, single parenthood, particularly, and I'm speaking to the mothers and from the mother's standpoint because I was one, is often worn as a badge. I have a son who made it to the NFL, and most of the things that was highlighted through in all of his interviews was the fact that he was raised by a single mother. So it becomes a badge of honor if there's a level of success at some point because, again, the task is such a task for two, much less one. So I wanted to discuss what are the attributes and what are we speaking to when we say single parenthood? Are you speaking to a marital status that you're single but you're a parent? So when you confront an opportunity for maybe dating or engaging in an intimate relationship, you make it aware that you are a parent and you're single and you're ready to mingle? Or is it that you are isolated or you are solely taking care of the responsibilities that are associated with parenting? And I believe that that's the component and that's the context in which I'm speaking, is that, in fact, a choice and or circumstance. And please, Stacey, halt me when I am. But I did want to present the question that maybe we can discuss. Is it that, is single parenthood for most, is it identified because you are single, you're just not a married and you happen to be a mother, or you're not married and you happen to be a father? Or are you left to handle every PTA meeting, every doctor's appointment, and every dentist appointment independently?
And can you present that question one more time?
Yes. Is your single parenthood, is the context of single parenthood that we consider, is it one that simply because you are an unmarried parent, and some would say that I'm a single parent because I am unmarried and I am a parent, but there is involvement of the other father, or is it single parenthood by circumstance or choice?
Okay. Very good questions. And I just wanted you to repeat it again so our listeners can hear. And before we get into the discussion, if you are listening and you have a question, please press 1, and you'll be able to join the conversation, present your question or comment. And you can write your comment, and I will read it on the air, and then we will respond to you. But we do have another special guest tonight. Our regular panelists, they all had graduations and things to do with family, but I am so grateful that we have Leisha Proby from Wreck the Walls Ministry, and I'm going to open up her mic and welcome her to the show, and she is going to join us in this discussion tonight. Hi, Leisha. How are you?
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? I am very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling much better. Thank you. My voice is trying to come back. Thank you so much. So she presented a question to the table. Did you want to respond first?
Yes, I will respond. The question can go both ways, depending on what your circumstances are. You could be considered a single parent and still have minimum support from the father's side, and then sometimes when it comes to to the father, a lot of fathers are just trying to do the best that they can because they didn't have an example. A lot of them did not grow up in a household with a male figure. So since they didn't grow up in a household with a male figure, a lot of times they tend to the behavior duplicates itself. So since the behavior duplicates itself, then now later on as we become adults, we're like, ah, okay, this is the reason why this was this. Because maybe years later, they're addressing issues that they never addressed when they were kids. So a lot of times they mimic, or they try to mirror, or a lot of times they even try to make up trying to be a parent, and they don't really know what that looks like because they haven't really experienced it. They've experienced being a boy, but they haven't really experienced being a man, let alone being a father.
Deborah, did you want to pick it up from there?
Okay, yes, ma'am. I'm glad you indicated, because I'm looking for you to guide me, because I'm a minister, y'all, so, you know, we can talk. you have to hold me back sometimes. I appreciate your response, Leisha. And I find that to be extremely true. And it's definitely single parenthood. We couldn't even consider addressing everything in this setting. But to begin to address the parts that we are within control of, right, I believe is essential for the children. Be it the children, be the focus, because parenting is the idea, is the optimum focus here. And so speaking to the components that we do have control in, first of all, one of the things that I had to realize is that I chose him. I participated in the process that postured me as a single parent, because not only was he missing tools to be a parent, but I was missing tools to choose a parent and to be one as well. Because if I had the tools, I would have chose someone emotionally, mentally, and physically and spiritually positioned to understand the responsibilities associated with it. So I truly believe that one component for healing single parenthood is to identify where you are before you even engage or approach that idea, if that makes sense.
Yes. But you both, this is such a wonderful topic, and I was so pleased when you shared it with me. And yes, it's just too much to cover with one show. There's many contributing factors, and I want to answer your question. I believe that there are seven categories of being a single parent, or what people like to say is single parenting, because you could be in a two-parent household and still raise that child alone. And you can be a single parent, unmarried, as you stated, and you're raising your child alone. You can be a single parent with the other parent helping, and you're both co-parents, but you're still single parents. And I love what you said. You know, nobody sets out. I mean, some people set out to be a single parent because they don't want the marriage. They don't really want the man. They just want a baby. So some people become single parents because they want to. But the majority, I don't think that's what they really wanted due to unforeseen circumstances. Many reasons people end up raising their children alone. You raised four kings by yourself. I raised two kings and a queen by myself. And it certainly wasn't the path that my parents chose for me. And it literally broke my father's heart the first time, you know, my firstborn. And I never really thought about it from his perspective because I was so worried about telling him. And once I told him, the way it affected him, it devastated me, because it's like he had all of these great plans, and then my choices, my decisions, it totally changed his plans. Because he never intended for me to be a single parent, and he made that perfectly clear to me. And so to go through that and to know the consequences, hold on, y'all continue, please. I got to get the door real quick. Sorry about that.
No, you're absolutely fine. I believe you made an amazing point. Is there anyone else that would like to share regarding what Stacy had mentioned or what constitutes single parenting for you? I'm not sure if she has to be the one to control the mic, so let me continue. As she stated, there are several reasons why single parenting can arise. Unfortunately, some parents are taken away by sickness. But my question, I believe, and the one that I want to, the idea of single parenting that I want to challenge us to address, is the component of single parenthood when there is a present parent. When the other parent is present and yet still claim single parenthood. Okay. All right. Stacy, you're back?
Yes, I'm back. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Repeat that question, the end part again.
So the part that the component of single parenthood that I wanted to address and really wanted to expand the dialogue about is when there is another parent present. Single means alone. It means, it doesn't just necessarily mean, but if there is another parent that desires and pursues playing a role in the child's life, and yet there are components of our own emotional unintelligence or immaturity that interrupts that or intercepts that. Is that fair to claim single parenthood in that scenario? That's a question.
No. Lisa, I don't know. You know, we kind of just flow, but I'm going to jump right in on that one. That is an excellent question because I'm an advocate for fathers. There's a lot of single fathers that want to participate with the upbringing of their children. They have gone above and beyond to do everything they need to do to be there with that mother to help the children, regardless of circumstances between the two of them. And so what happens when he's denied that opportunity? What happens when he wants to go to school and pick his children up and do homework? What happens when he is paying child support, but when it's time for him to pick up his children and have his time? I understand you say, you know, they're together, but there's so many ways we could look at this. And in a situation like that, that father is forced to be a single parent because he does not have the full authority to be a full-time parent in that child's life. But then on the flip side of that, we do have some parents that do a wonderful, they're not together, but they do a wonderful job co-parenting. And whatever differences they have with each other, they put that on the back burner because they understand that it is about the spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional development of their children, and that they both have a responsibility to be there for their children. So is it easy? No, it takes work. I've been on both sides where, you know, it was good working together and then where it wasn't good working together. And I think it's really good to identify some of the conflicts. You know, what are the damaged areas in the infrastructure of that wall that causes mom and dad to disagree so much to the point where it affects the children? Because the children are the shattered pieces. The children's lives are literally shattered into pieces when mom and dad don't get along. But when they do get along, then we're looking at some children that are more grounded. They are doing well in school. They are doing well with socializing and meeting friends in school. So those that is a little bit different, and, you know, dad is not there or mom is not there, then you have more problems and you have a lot of anger issues, behavioral issues. And a lot of times the children get misdiagnosed or mistreated because they're displaying behavior that's not true to their nature. But in all honesty, they don't know how to express what they're feeling. And they're afraid to say something to mom. They're afraid to say something to dad. So what do we do? We're looking at a whole bunch of children that are in a classroom, and the teacher is looking at them knowing something is wrong, but I don't know what's going on. And I just said a lot, so I'm going to just turn the mic over for someone to respond. But that's a loaded one, and I'm sorry I said a lot, but that was good.
Please don't apologize. That was so, so good. And it was the purpose of having the discussion so that we can hear and sometimes see ourselves and the role that we play in being a single parent. Because again, parenting is the focus word there. So if I avail myself to be a part of the parenting process, but you hinder me because you have the womb by no choice of your own, if you've taken complete ownership of the child because you've carried the child, then you deny my access. And unfortunately, there's a society, a court system, a judicial system that supports you in doing that. You disparage my unequivocal participation in that child being here in the first place. You demean my role and who I should be with the child because of my gender, because I'm a male, and if it's going the other way, it's going the other way as well. And yet you shout from the rooftop expecting a sash of a shiro because you're parenting single-handedly when you don't have to be. So
yes,
that's the conversation that is so necessary to have. And in order to begin that conversation, we have to go back and take accountability. You chose him. You chose her. Heal that caused you to choose the person that now has become the target of your disdain, so much so that you can't see the hurt of your child desiring to be a part of that parent's life. So I believe healing is essential, and an honest self-reflection about where you are still about the breakup or the relationship not moving in a direction both probably hoped it would.
Yes, that's so true. That's so true. Bisha, you want to chime in? Okay, well, we could just keep on flowing. I love what you said about the judicial part. I believe that regardless of the circumstances, try and work it out amongst each other before going to the judicial system, because it didn't take them to help you to make that baby. So why bring the outside in? You know, make peace, count your differences, and both parties do what you need to do to take care of your children. That's point A. Point B is, I'm not going to take care of my child. You're not going to let me see my child. Or the number one reason, Deborah, why most men don't take care of their children is because of how the relationship ended. And if he is mad at her, he say, well, I'm not going to take care of my responsibility. Not all, but some.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
the
ma'am.
Numbers are very high in that category. And that number is also high for the women who have left the children with the father and refused to take care of them as well.
Yes.
So what do we do when we have a father? I had a talk show a couple of years ago, and it was, Father, Where Are Your Sons? And one of the fathers came on, great conversation, and he said that it was his reasonable service to take care of his child and that he was not going to go to court and be dictated to how he was going to take care of his child. And he said it wasn't a pleasant situation he was in, but he did what he had to do to work things out with the mother, where they made an amicable agreement to take care of the child financially and just all around the, you know, across the board. And it was so uplifting, and so many brothers called in and stuff. It was a great show. And I wish we had more people on today, but this is still good. It's a wonderful topic. And my question connected to the judicial system, when that father gets into the system with the courts and they're given everything they have to take care of that child, and the mother is hungry for more money increase, but mind you, she's not allowing him to see the child. And then when he does spend time with his child, the child is not looking like he's taking care of the child. So that's another topic, because a lot of times the mother misappropriates the funds but will badmouth the father. And I hope through this discussion tonight that we could dispel some of the myths, and that some of the truths, we can provide different avenues and help bring resolution that will prick people's hearts tonight to make better decisions and to really let go of anything within their hearts that would prevent reconciliation and restoration for the family. And I thank you so much, Deborah, for bringing this topic and these wonderful questions to the table, because it's really needed.
Oh, my God.
And the mic is...
I feel that in order for the resolution to actually take place, there has to be a level of maturity, because you got to be mature enough to know that you want better for your child's life, even though you're not dealing with the mom or the dad, whichever party it is, but you're doing it for the betterment of the child. Now, everybody is not mature in that level. Everybody does not want to do the right thing for the child, because you have not came to the table to sit down and talk about your differences. At this point, when you have a child, your differences don't matter. They don't matter. The betterment of this child is what's at stake right now. Me and you is old. So we need to figure out how we gonna get along to get along just for the sake of the children. That means you don't badmouth me, I don't badmouth you. Whatever you do, that's your business. I'm always going to bring you and put you in the father position. Now, if you ain't mature enough to sit in that seat, then we need to have a total different conversation, because that's where some people are at. Now, I'm not saying everybody is there, because we got some immaturities on the male side and immaturity on the female side. But for the most part, we do have one parent. One of the parents want to be Simba. The other one does not.
Yes.
So when the other one does not, you don't get to beat me up about everything that I've done, that I didn't do, because now I'm trying to come to the table to do. And since I'm trying to come to the table to do, don't come with everything that I didn't do for the betterment of the child. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. If you're holding on to stuff that was 5 and 7 years ago, I can't do nothing about that right now. I can only focus on today. If I came back today, this is where we focus. This is where the focus is at. But everybody does not want to extend that grace. Everybody doesn't want to extend that olive branch. Like, okay, you done came back. Okay, we're going to try to make it work. And we just going to get along just to get along. No, because guess what? Now that you're here, even though you're here for the betterment of child, and even though I said what I said, in that moment, let's address that issue. And that's not the time to address that issue. That's not the time to do that. So a lot of times it comes down to maturity on both parents. And you got to be mature. You got to be mature, because guess what? You acting a donkey, your dad's acting a donkey, what you think your kid gonna do? They're gonna mimic everything they see. If they see you bad-mouthing daddy, when they get around daddy, guess what they're gonna do? My mama said blah, 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 blah about you. My daddy said blah, 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 blah about you. And that is not helping the child. What is that doing to the child? You're putting them in the middle of an adult situation, and they ain't even adult. They can't even be a kid because they too busy trying to battle with y'all issues. So now they 10, acting like she 20. Why? Why is that? Because now you're going to put her in an adult situation. You want to talk to her about her daddy issues, or you want to talk to her about her mom issues, when you need to be talking to the parent about those issues, not the child. Address the parent and stop being like a boy or a girl and trying to address the child. You're trying to address, I'm the mom and I'm trying to address your daddy through you. No, it doesn't work like that. You're putting the child in an adult situation. So then when the child flips and starts acting like an adult, you're like, I don't understand why you're acting like an adult. You need to be acting like a child. Then stop putting them in the middle of your chaotic situation and handle it. And if you can't handle it, then you guys need to just part your ways and figure out something else. But you got to at least try. You got to at least try. I think what the missing piece is the trying part. Because the trying part means I got to actually be in your presence. I got to actually come to your house and act like I like you. Get over that. You liked them when you had a child? You got to get past
That's
that
real.
Part.
And here's even beyond the dynamic, and thank you so much, even beyond the dynamic, because everything you said is absolutely true, and understanding that it takes tools to acquire that, because cycles often repeat itself, which is why I do what I do. So oftentimes you'll find that bitter Betty birth bitter baby, and the bitter baby is going to birth a bitter baby, and the bitter baby birth a bitter baby, and it's rooted and grounded in the dynamics of, as women of God, we understand the dynamic for the enemy is to separate, to kill, destroy, and disparage everything that the Father intended to be. So hence the first point of contact for healing and developing anything so that single parenthood doesn't have to be what it is when it's a choice as opposed to circumstance sometimes prevents. Dad got to work out of state, mom have to work out of state. But in the dynamics when you met him at the grocery store and that's where you took him home from and now you expect for him to give up half the check but he still can't see him see the child, one parent does not have possession over the child. And I hear it even a lot with parents, with women who have men in the home. My daughter, my son, that's my child. And they say it so vehemently and so hostile. And you want, a man was created to go get and go hunt, and the man was supposed to train, and a woman was supposed to teach, right? And if a man is already, his makeup is already to be outside and hunting, when he comes home, you separate him from everything within the home. You tell him that the child is yours in one breath, and the next breath, he needs to give up everything, including his plasma, to take care of it. We have to make up our minds the posture that we want the other parent to play and submit to that for the sake of the child. So as you said, not only does it take maturity, but it also takes honesty. It takes honesty and to recognize that you are looking at a mirror image of yourself at that other. When you consider that the other parent that you are deeming and you are demonizing in the presence of your child is your mirror, then you might change how you speak about that other parent and how you treat the other parent in the presence of the child. Single parenthood does not have to be a life sentence if we make the decision to take the look at the role we play in being a single parent in the first place. So,
yes.
Lisa, you said this, and I'm going to be quiet. You said as far as choosing what's for the betterment of the child, what often happens is that us as women think we know all that's better for the child. And the only thing the father needs to do is pull out his American Express Visa or Discover, and everything else is left up to me. If we want to have an honest talk here today.
Listen, when you said that, I just heard, oh, my goodness, Kanye. She ain't looking for no, but she looking for a gold
digger. Right.
You know, she ain't messing with no broke nigga. You know, what is she really looking for? Yeah. And what is he really looking for? Because as soon as you said that, the spirit of entrapment came to me.
Yes, ma'am.
There are some people that are single parents because they got messed up by the hookup. This is the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we get raw. We bring it to you like it is. Many people are messed up by the hookup. Samson hooked up with Delilah, and she cut off his locks. He lost everything.
Come on, ma'am.
There are some men and some women that said, I'm going to drop this. Well, let's deal with the men. I'm going to drop this sperm because I want her in my life. I'm going to impregnate her. He had a condom, but he took it off or he put a hole in it. He said, I'm going to impregnate her. She never wanted to have a baby. Now she is stuck with him for 18 years or whatever that state age is where they got to parent this child. One, you angry, how did I get pregnant when you had a condom? Let's be real. These things happen.
Have the conversation.
Then we flip the script. Yes. Then the female, she does the same thing. So some people are in competition, which is so foolish. I saw this one picture on Facebook, and it was all of these teenage middle, I guess they was in middle school, because they looked they didn't look old enough for high school, but they had on these blue uniform shirts from school, their pants. It was about five or six of them, and they were all lined up showing their bellies. They were all pregnant. And they made a pact to see who could get pregnant first. That picture broke my heart, the reason that they did that. Because those young ladies, they just... I guess my question is, you know, how did it come down to that?
Yeah.
Where was mom and dad? Like, something is wrong. Something is wrong.
Well, I mean, the issue nowadays is nobody wants to take the time. You want to have the child, but you don't want to take the time to raise it.
You better tell us.
You don't get kudos and dad of the year or mom of the year because you can go out and buy the store. No, it doesn't work like that. Just because you can buy the store, but you can't buy them a conversation. Or you can't be in their presence without having, you have phone separation anxiety because you can't have a conversation with your son or your daughter without via texting, or you it's all business, and where do they fit in at? So a lot of times it comes down to maturity and responsibility. Am I mature enough to take care of this child? Whether this dude say he gonna be here or not, that's the question you have to ask yourself. And then the second thing is am I in a situation, am I financially stable enough to give the child what they need, not what they want, because a lot of times, you know, we're parenting from a lack. So just because I ain't had no Jordans, I'm going to make sure my son or daughter have all the Jordans. It don't matter if they got Jordans on their feet and they dumb. That don't make no sense. That don't make no sense. It don't make no sense if they got Jordans on their feet and they can't hold a conversation. It don't make no sense if they got Jordans on their feet and they can't talk and have an interview with somebody. Collectively, a correct communication, not cussing, not you trying to manipulate somebody to get your way. No. Can you have a civil conversation with an adult? And you still get your point across, and they come down to your level. Or the adult brings you up to their level and shows you something about life that you didn't even experience, that you wasn't able to experience with your own parents. Then now that opens the door for something else. They're not getting what they need at home. Mom is too busy trying to be in the street. Dad is too busy being business. So that pushes the child out the door, right? Pushes them to who, though? That's the question. Is it people that's available that will say, hey, let me mentor you. Let me mentor your daughter. Let me mentor your son. Now, there's an offense because it's like, oh, you think I'm not a good enough parent? I'm not saying that, sir. I'm not saying that, ma'am. I just see that there's a different need that your child is suffering from that maybe I can provide because I deal with that type of service. Lose your offense, mom or dad, and let the child get what they need.
Now that's a whole different conversation. Listen, we have spiraled. We have spiraled because we spiraled not out of control, but what we are speaking to, it raises all of these issues. And I began with that, the impact of single parenthood. It impacts the social, emotional, and mental health awareness. So now I'm looking to fill a void. I'm looking to satisfy a fantasy. I don't even know the components of that fantasy, which ultimately leads me into a position where I will ultimately be a single parent. And then that child, the cycle ensues. So we have to pause. If you're finding yourself, if you're listening and you are a single parent, pause and take the assessment that leads you to what led you here, so that you can break a cycle so that your child have a greater opportunity than you've had and so forth and so on. You said a mouthful, Leisha, as it relates to what I don't know how to have a conversation with you. I don't know how to emote. No one emoted with me. There's a component of the brain that is developed during the nurturing process. And if I'm a frustrated, overworked, underloved, feel neglected, rejected, abandonment, traumatized on every side, busted and disgusted and can't get enough. The furthest I could go is to the corner store where I am going to meet the next Pookie, Ray Ray, Bubba, and on them. No offense to anybody who got cousins those names because I do too. The likelihood is a pattern, it's a whirlwind. I'm stuck in a tornado of scenarios that produces single parenthood.
Yeah.
I'm stuck. Tornado of scenarios. So if you are a single parent, right where you are, just pause. How'd you get here? How'd you get here? Not why, how he left you and how he cheated on you and how she left you and how she, how, because you have no control in no other direction. No, you have no control over anyone else's footsteps but your own.
Yes, amen. And, you know, I love what I'm hearing because both of you are saying accountability. And I always talk about accountability. And it is time to put the tissue box down. Time for the, you know, those crocodile tears. Listen, it hurt, yes, but what's done is done. Where's the accountability? Rise up.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, I got here off of a broken promise. Because you told me that you were capable of being what I thought you could be, and you can't do that. So now the child is here. You don't know how to do what you told me you could do.
So what were you missing? What were you missing, back to self, what were you missing that didn't identify the liar in the room, that didn't identify the deficit in the room, that didn't identify the person with the toolbox that had no tools? What was missing in you? Because we can look at your broken promise all day long. We can say how you whispered in our ear and tugged at our shirt at the same time. But until I acknowledge that there was a deficit in me that allowed you in the room in the first place, I'm going to continue the pattern of choosing people that leaves me with broken promises.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And what was lacking in me at that time was respect and love. Love and respect. I had my first child when I got pregnant when I was 19. Mm-hmm. And plus, I didn't have no experience.
That part.
So I was lacking a lot because it wasn't like I could actually go to mom and say, hey, this is what I got going on right now. It's like, no. Because that mom-daughter relationship had shifted. Because now my mom thought that, oh, okay, you know, you graduated, you're out of school, you're kind of like on your own, so you can kind of fend for yourself. I didn't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the experience to know what it took to even nurture a child at 19, pregnant, to nurture, because that's when it starts. You start nurturing it at conception, when you're impregnated. That's when the nurturing starts. You're nurturing, so you're taking care of yourself. You're eating right, and you are making sure that you're sleeping well. But when you're 19, you ain't doing none of that. What does that look like at that age?
So, woman of God, you are speaking to so many, and the question was posed to all of us, not you just alone, but to all of us. Because once you are able to answer those questions, you are able to then begin the process of equipping yourself. The question is imposed for condemnation, but for elevation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because if you understand what got you there, then you can understand what will keep you from going back again.
Amen. And that is dealing with root issues, which is not talked about enough, and many people don't know how to handle their problems in a positive way that will help them to grow and mature and understand how to move forward. Most people that have traumatic experiences, you know, we have to transition from the fault finding, blame shifting. And then even as I'm saying this, there are some single parents, because they were sexually assaulted, they were raped, they were molested. A lot of things happened to them that they had no control over, but they chose to keep their babies. And traumatic experience, to relive that, to rehearse that. And without counseling, without someone to really talk to and deal with how that made you feel, you know, sometimes that bitterness may creep in and you might have some resentment towards that baby. And it's real important to understand that when that embryo, if that baby is inside of the mother, it's picking up everything. And a lot of babies were born, a lot of babies, while they were in their mother's womb, they felt the rejection. And it didn't have to be rape or sexual assault. But due to the circumstances of them becoming pregnant, they felt animosity and bitterness towards that child, towards the father, and they internalized it, and that baby felt it, especially our men children. Many men are struggling with rejection. And it comes from a molecular level when they was in mama's womb. And they don't even realize why they act the way they act, or why they get so clingy, or, you know, they looking for that mama figure, looking for mama's approval. So I really would, Deborah, love to do to this, where we could really deal with it, you know, come together and pray about some things and deal with what happens inside the mother's womb,
yes,
when she's carrying that baby. Because if mama don't deal with her issues, baby going to be born into some issues.
Yeah. Oh, that would be amazing. That would be. This was this was an amazing conversation, ladies. So raw, so transparent. And I pray that
yes,
they know that it was presented in love, and love is honest. Love is honest.
Yes.
Love is honest for the sake of deliverance. So, for those of us who still may be in a place where you're throwing eggs at the radio because we stepped on a toe, if your toe got stepped on, mine did too. Praise God. Praise God, because there's healing at the end of that, you know?
Yes.
There's healing at the end
there
of that.
There is. I feel that it's very necessary for the healing. Because when you do not heal, you transfer. When you don't heal, you transfer.
Yes, ma'am.
If I'm not healed from anything of my past, the moment I meet Mr. Wright, I transfer everything wrong I went through to him. And he's like, whoa, wait a minute. What happened to you? What happened? Let's have a conversation. And a lot of times you feel bad after the transfer instead of getting the help before.
But, you know, a lot of times we don't know about the transfer. You know, I'm quite sure we can all three of us have a story to tell. And there were times mm-hmm. when, you know, we didn't have the wisdom that we have now. Lord knows. If I knew what I know now, everything would have been different. You know,
mm-hmm.
being
mm-hmm.
a single parent, we make mistakes along the way, and we nurture and raise our children to the best of our ability, but sometimes we
mm-hmm.
because we're operating out of our hurt and our pain. But when we
mm-hmm.
get healed
mm-hmm.
and delivered, do you know that your children get healed and delivered too? Because they
yeah,
are part
they
of that process. You know,
mm-hmm.
mama
mm-hmm.
smelled different. I don't smell that smell no more. It smells like roses up in here. You know, woundedness, you know, when you bleeding and this pus and you just, the Band-Aid won't stay on, it carries an odor. And the enemy is just like that lion with Wild Kingdom, that wounded giraffe, that wounded baby. He smelled the blood, and he right there, he's lurking. So that transfer you talking about, okay, we going to get this one. He too wounded. He can't stay with his family. He gets that animal or that baby or that boy or that girl because it's young, it's old, it's a teenager, you know, many categories. But they pounce on them. And then they discard them like a piece of trash to leave them on the roadside to die if they don't kill them in the process. So we have to get healed because most people that don't get healed, they carry that scent around. And so that lion that's in the form of a man or a female, it tracks them in the spirit.
You gotta tell the people.
Oh, Rabashanda Rabasi. It tracks
the
them.
That's
and
right. Them spirit.
Better teach them.
The attack is, come on, the spirit of entrapment, spirit
come
of
on.
Encroachment. Have these jitterbugs,
right.
these
That's
young
right.
girls today, they
Talk
going up
it.
In the clubs. Hey, you know, set it off on the left, y'all. No, you about to get set up, boo. All these lions
Talk
in here,
it.
Yeah, they looking good, they smelling good, but they got a different plan for you.
Ooh,
talk about
we want,
it.
They need a,
talk about
they
it.
Need a host. They need a host.
Yes.
This is what they need a host to make their deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
that they can
yes.
produce that toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
They being used as a vessel, just as we are being
mm-hmm.
used as a vessel. But we are here tonight,
mm-hmm.
ladies and gentlemen, to support you in not having to walk through what we've walked through, what we're witnessing others walk through. If you take heed to what's being spoken in love, it can save you and generations of trauma and tragedy.
I agree.
Amen.
And if I could, I would like to address the audience that is listening, or you may listen later. But I just feel led by God to speak to you, whether you are a male or a female. Because you are a single parent and you have tried to do everything in your power to walk in love, to show kindness, you have been mistreated, you have been beat down, and you don't know what to do. And you can't see your children the way you really want to see them. And the spirit of shame has been harassing you. And there's a lot of mental anguish because of the decisions behind the decisions that you made with this person, and things didn't work out the way you wanted it to. The enemy is using the shame and the disappointment to keep you in bondage. And God wants to set you free tonight. And he spoke to Prophet Deborah to bring this topic to the table so that we can have a broad discussion to help bring awareness. So if you are listening to this broadcast and your heart is responding to the things being said, then I encourage you to reach out to Venice M. Capers and visit her website. Again, her website is www.VinicesCapers. She is a life coach, and she can help you. That's what this broadcast is all about, helping others to help themselves. If you have a question or if you have a comment, please, something being said, just encourage the woman of God, or pick up the phone and just call us and ask a question. What is your experience? What have you gone through? And what advice do you have for a single parent? So that's, you know, that's what I wanted to share, because so many people struggle with their shame. You know, sometimes they're embarrassed to interact and do stuff with other people because they single parents. And, you know, there is no condemnation, like you said earlier. You know, the devil is there to condemn, but God is like, no, you've been set free. There is no condemnation. But the mic is yours, co-host. Take it away. You're doing a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you. This has been an amazing conversation, and I know that whoever's listening or who will listen, probably it'll be a seed, right? We sow the seed, and then there'll be some watering, and then God will cause the increase. And that increase will be you walking in a spirit of peace, releasing whatever emotions and disappointment. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean you weren't done unjustly. It doesn't mean that a promise was not broken. But what it does mean is those things you can do nothing about right now. But what you can do something about is the direction in which you desire to. And ask yourself these questions. Are my actions, are my behaviors, are my words, and are my thoughts supporting me to get me where I say I want to be? And if that's no, beloved, love yourself enough. Love yourself in the way that you wish that other parent would have loved you and still been there to help you raise your child. Love yourself like you wish your parent or your parents would have loved you, or your family would have loved you. Begin, if you're going to be the first of you like you deserve, be the first one that loves you like you deserve. And if you're not sure how to do that, be the first one who's willing to learn how. Because you're worth it.
Yes.
You're worth it. Being a single parent and all, you're worth it. I am only here. I wasn't always a single parent because I was married. But it was a point in time when the father said, I'm busy and I have other stuff to do, that's when I became a single parent. But he will get the credit for all the years he was there. But when
Amen.
When I found myself with my soaked pillow, full of bitterness, anger, anguish, and disappointment. The only one who was there in that soap pillow, full of bitter anger, anguish, and disappointment, was me. And the only one that could get me out that pillow and off that pillow was me. So I'm hoping that we said something that's going to support you in doing that tonight or tomorrow. And like Sister Stacy said, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Vinice Capers. And we could just chat it up or just have a conversation to get you through some of the hardest days, because parenting with two is no joke. So doing it alone, whew. But I want to salute you for doing it at all. I want to celebrate you for doing it at all, because you could have abandoned that responsibility as well, and you chose to stay. So celebrate that, and let's move forward, beloved, for the sake of our children.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me. This was an honor.
Yes, you're welcome. Well, I have a poem that I wanted to share that is related to some of the problems from the discussions that we had so far. And it's called Something Is Wrong, Y'all. The prostitute out on the corner selling her body for drugs. Her children are hungry out on the streets, robbing, stealing, trying to get some food to eat. Something is wrong, y'all. Their deadbeat dad has flown the coop, running here and running there, trying to find a free place to lay his head. He's living with another woman, eating up her food, running up her bills, driving her car. But I have a man is what she says. I have a man. Something is wrong, y'all. Teenage boys and girls having all the sex in the world with multiple partners, old and young. Venereal diseases spreading, fatalities increasing. Emergency rooms and funeral homes are full to capacity. Something is wrong, y'all. Drug dealers on the corner infesting our neighborhoods, bribing police officers. Firearms are spreading bullets left and right. Stray bullets hitting innocent bystanders. Mothers running, her baby's been shot dead. It brings me pain. Something is wrong, y'all. Picture an iceberg in your mind. At the surface, that's all you can see. But underneath the surface, it's wide, it's deep, and it covers a large amount of the ocean floor. The definition of an iceberg is a large mounded mass of ice that has broken away from a glacier and floats into the sea, with the greater part of its bulk under the water. Underneath the surface, something is wrong in the lives of our loved ones, our families, our friends, our enemies, mom and dad. And like the iceberg is broken away from the glacier, many have been broken away from home, mom, and dad, and are floating in a sea of hopelessness. And that brings me pain. Something is wrong, y'all. Underneath the surface, I see strongholds that need to be broken. Fear, guilt, shame, incest, adultery, rejection, depression, pornography, sexual abuse, mental abuse, homosexuality, physical abuse, embarrassment, emotional abuse, low self-esteem, child molestation, domestic violence, child pornography, inferiority complex, on and on the list goes. It all brings me pain. When will we find a cure? When will we stop to care? When will we start to spread God's love by helping our fellow man? And that's a poem that I wrote to bring awareness, because part of Eloquently Speaking Radio Network is eloquently speaking about restoring the family. So when you gave me the topic, I said, I want to share this poem because it kind of captures a little bit of everything. And Deborah, I want to turn the mic back over to you for you to respond what the Lord was speaking to you while I was reading it. And I know we're coming to the end. You do have time, and I want God to just use you. If you feel led to pray, you can also pray.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to identify some of those, because we talked about the root issues earlier. And, you know, all of us are prayer warriors. We got, you know, break the walls over here. So let me look at the time we have. We still got over 45 minutes. So, you know, so take your time and just let God use you.
Well, first of all, the power of the poem as you read it was riveting for me. Something is wrong, y'all. Something is wrong. That's what kept shaking me on the inside. And what's wrong is that we've turned away from the one who loved us most. Can we go there? What's wrong is not, the world is doing exactly what the world is supposed to do. What's wrong is that those that the Father has called unto himself have become lackadaisical in doing what we're supposed to do. So something is wrong, y'all. Yeah, something is wrong. What's wrong is that we have adopted the world's way as opposed to influencing the world to go Yahweh's way. So, yes, something is wrong, y'all. Something is wrong. What's wrong is that we know in God but denying the power thereof, and we want to do what we want to do, what we want to do it, how we want to do it. So that's the consequences of our actions and our behavior. He told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we decide not to do it his way, we're subject to the consequences. And the consequences of the bullets, Raven, as you spoke to, woman of God, ever so eloquent through your poetry. Where we are right now is not where we have to stay and where we have to remain. Through Christ Yeshua, he's our exit. He's our door. We're looking for a door. We're grinding. We're doing all these things. As woman of God, Leisha said, tearing down walls or wrecking walls. She said, we buy in sneakers. We dressing our children up, but they're not adorned with what they need to make it through what
Come
your poem
on.
Eloquently spoke to. They're not adorned from the inside out. They're cute on the outside, but they're walking shells. They're walking mannequins because we have not been fueling them. And we're crying on the news and we're screaming on FaceTime Lives and we're going through all these things, but we have not equipped our children to be able to fight the greatest enemy. And although the enemy may be dressed in all types of uniforms and may be dressed in all types of different colors, and maybe, but we truly only have one enemy. And what's wrong is that we fail to acknowledge that one enemy, and we fail to acknowledge that he's on his job, and we fail to acknowledge that he's more dedicated. We've been dedicated to doing what we were called to do, and he's more dedicated and more faithful to being what he's been called to be, which is a liar and a deceiver and a destroyer. And we are still wanting to do it our own way and walking in a lukewarm way, and the Father told us that he spews out. So, yes, something is wrong, y'all. Something is wrong.
Yes.
To refuse to look in the mirror and recognize what it is we are called to be and who you are called, the royal priesthood. I don't care how many mistakes you made. I don't care how many baby daddies or babies, mamas you had said. You can be redeemed from that place, beloved. God built his blood for you through his son, Christ Yeshua. You don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay in that wrong place. The woman of God said that I have permission to pray. I just want to give you a message that you are not lost and you are not hopeless. There is still hope for you right where you are. And I'm even talking to the sister with some red bottoms, driving her Mercedes-Benz, dressed in her five-bedroom apartment, got every color shoe and every color purse to match, every color bag to match, every color hat. You, too, can be broken and barren on the inside with all of that external stuff and not adorned with what you need to overcome the enemy internally. Allow the Father to equip you with that today. Allow the Father to give you what he intends for you with his fellowship with him so that you don't have to walk out these consequences alone. Because the children are here. Your decisions were made. The consequences are at your door, but you do not have to walk through them alone. There is a loving Father who loves you more than anyone else because he laid down his life for you. And if you would, and if you're willing to get to know him, go ahead and call that number that is posted for you to call. And if you have not been able to, if you're unable to reach us while we're here, know that you can reach out to me afterwards and we can pray the prayer of salvation for you so that you can be delivered from the thing that's the enemy that's trying to cause you destruction, which is ultimately the enemy. I hope somebody's listening tonight. You are worthy of all the effort that Sister Stacy created when the Lord told her to give birth to this thing. This radio station and this platform is giving birth to other opportunities for those that are. I pray you hear, woman of Yahweh, I'm done. I've been blessed to be here. I've been blessed to be asked to be a part. It's been a blessing. I've been blessed to getting to know you as well as Sister Leisha. I feel surrounded with armor with you two on this line. I feel surrounded
Amen.
With power. I feel surrounded with power. I bless God for all that you've done, and I thank you for the work that you do to change lives. one listener at a time, and it matters.
Amen. Thank you so much.
God,
I appreciate it. And Alicia, I'm going to let you give closing remarks before I give mine.
I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all know I got little people, so I'm moving all around. But, yes, this has been an amazing topic. It can branch off to so many different subtopics, but the foundation is always rooted in Christ. No matter what we go through, whatever adversaries that we face, the good, the bad, the ugly, God is still able. And he's the orchestrator, and he's the author of our lives. And that is what we cling to, whether you're a single mom, a single dad, an auntie playing mom, or, you know, a nana playing mom and dad. It doesn't matter. We can do all things through Christ that gives us strength, and that's what we lean to. I appreciate this platform. I appreciate my tribe, my sisters, my hood sisters, as well as my sisterhood that I have developed with you two ladies on this line. So I want to say thank you, Stacey, for the opportunity, and we'll be back, y'all.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad you was able to join us tonight. And I want to give a shout out to Erica Burnett, Edna Smith, Marilyn Yarday, Annie Moore, and Millicent Murray. And congratulations to all of the graduates and your families. And we do want to send out condolences to the Murray family for the loss of her goddaughter. And I ask that you ladies lift her and her family up in prayer. But woman of God, I want to say thank you. You did a wonderful job. You brought so much to the table, and I look forward to listening to playback, because there is so much that Leisha said and so much that you said, and then coupled with what I said, and I just need to digest it. Because, Leisha, what you said is so many directions that we can go. And, Deborah, if you don't mind, I would like you to work on a part 2 and 3, maybe 4. But, it's, you know, see how God leads you. And I can also contribute to that. Maybe we could do it as a group venture. You know, we could spend some time off of the air where we could break down the different parts that we can talk about, but then actually pray, because
yes,
we brought a lot of awareness, but I want us to be able to identify the spirits in operation so that we
yes
can start praying. Like, I feel like praying right now, like tear it down. But I know we got babies and all of that stuff, so I'm going to behave. But, you know, think about it, because
yes
we are equippers.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to bring the information, but also we're ready to hammer it out with the word of God. And for those that want prayer, we can pray for them, certainly. But even if they don't, nobody's here, we still can pray, because there's
Amen
power in prayer. But I want to give Deborah's information one more time, because reciprocity is important to me. I believe in giving back. And that's one thing I love about all of the women of God that grace the mic. Everybody is giving back. We're giving to one another. And one of the reasons that we're doing this talk show is to show the love of women in Christ.
Yes.
That
yes
we get along,
yes,
that we love each other, that there is
yes
no jealousy, that we are helping each other to go higher
yes
and
ma'am
reach their goals. And for that, we can shout hallelujah right there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be quaint here now, Stacey. You're riling me up now. You're riling me up.
Now, that's what I'm trying to do. I told you now, don't be yourself. Be who God called you to be.
Yes, yes.
And I,
yes,
you know, I understand. But Do y'all want to pray? Because I want to pray.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I'm never not wanting to pray. I'm always in a prayer posture. Hallelujah. I know that this
ain't
associated with it, but I'm always open to prayer.
Okay. Well, let's do what we do. And
yes, ma'am.
You can start it, and then we'll follow.
Father, in the mighty name of Yeshua, we come before you and we say thank you, Lord. We say thank you for your loving kindness, for your generosity, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We say thank you, Lord, for being Elohim all by yourself. We say thank you, Lord, for giving us the life, the breath, and the strength, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit bringing us into a place of awareness, Lord, where we were able to come here on this evening because of what you birthed through your daughter, Stacy, Father, because of what you told her to do, and because of her, yes, Lord, our voices and our testimonies are going through the airwaves, Father God, and it's resting in people's souls, and it's resting in your children's hearts, and it's resting on their mind, Father, and it's arresting that which came to hold them hostage, Father. It's arresting, Holy One of Israel, that which came to subdue them from reaching their highest levels and depths and their walk in you, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness tonight. We thank you for the unity tonight. For the fellowship tonight. We thank you for the wisdom tonight. We thank you for your presence tonight, because, Lord, we can't do none of this without you. Hallelujah. We didn't come to none of this awareness on our own, Father, but it's because of your grace. It's because of your weakening. It's because of your kindness. It's because you turned your head, Father, when we were being in places that caused single parenthood in the first place, Lord. It's when we were making choices, Father, that wasn't aligned with your will. When we were being disobedient and arrogant, Father, you still held your hand out for us to come into your bosom, Father. We want to let the listeners know that your bosom is wide open for them as well, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for manifesting your loving kindness in and through us and for us. And we ask, Lord,
yes,
that every listener be healed from anything that's attempting to hold them hostage, like shame and guilt and condemnation, Father. All they have to do is say yes to you by faith, and condemnation is disparaged, Father. For there is no condemnation who walks according to the Spirit and not after the flesh, Father. We thank you for the spirit of wisdom resting on our shoulders, God. We thank you for the spirit of knowledge resting on us, Lord. We thank you, hallelujah,
yes,
for the utterance that you have given us tonight, Lord, that has stirred up something in someone that's going to look at that child for the first time and recognize that they are not a possession or a pawn, but they belong to you, and their responsibility is to lead them, train them up in the way they should go, which is in your direction, God. So, Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to bless you. I want to praise you. I want to glorify you for every changed mind, every open mind, every softened heart that transpired here on tonight, Father. For every listener that is live now and for every listener that will watch the replay, you are valuable. You are important. If for no one else but Elohim himself, the one who created you, he knew you before you were in your mother's womb, and he loved you enough to reach out to you tonight by way of Miss Stacy, Miss Deborah, and Miss Leisha. Hallelujah. And anyone else who's listening, don't you believe this is by circumstance, but this is by design, divine design. Hallelujah. And it was intended for you to hear what you heard so that the trajectory of your life can be shifted. I thank you, Father, for this in the mighty and precious name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Leisha. Thank you, Jesus, while she's coming.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. There's nobody like you, Father. Hallelujah.
Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Nobody like
Hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We just charge the atmosphere while we're waiting for our sister to pray. And we give you all the honor, Lord. Thank you for the prayers of the righteous that avail us much. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing this broadcast tonight. Thank you for bringing those that need to hear it. Thank you for sending those that need to listen to the playback in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Leisha, you ready? Well,
yeah,
Father God,
in
the mighty.
Home.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
You started.
I'm gonna go last.
Heavenly Father, we come just to say thank you. Thank you for another opportunity just to lift up your name, to bow at your feet and to sit in your presence. We say thank you, Lord. We don't take that for granted, Father God. Thank you for extending the olive branch of grace and mercy, even in the midst of our undesirable moments of life, Father God, you still felt the need to cover us and to keep us and to welcome us home, Father God. So we want to put on that Christ-like characteristic, not just for today, but every day, Father God. We want to display your character, your love, your grace, your mercy, extended to those who may have wrongfully done us, Father God. And we want to really be honest about it. We really want to give them the business, Father God. But since we know who you are, and we know whose you are, and we know what you have done in our lives, Father God, we want to be able to extend that that level of grace and that level of forgiveness and that level of mercy to whomever may have done us wrong, Father God. We forgive them right now, Lord God. We forgive them right now, Lord God. We don't want any malice to settle in our heart and to settle in our spirit. Lord God, we don't want the sun to rise, or we don't want the sun to set, and we have not saying, Lord, we forgive them. Because we don't know the day, the hour, or the time when you are going to knock on our door and call us by our name, Father God. So we don't know that. So we say thank you, Lord God. We say thank you, God. We say thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
We say thank you for being who you are. We say thank you for loving us when we were unlovable. We say thank you to the single mom. We say thank you for the single parent. We say thank you for the single dad. We say thank you for allowing us to be in those moments, Father God, not allowing us to stay in those moments, Father God, but just allowing us to experience that part of life. We say thank you. Thank you for the lessons.
Yes.
Thank you for the blessing that you've bestowed upon us. In Jesus' name, I pray, bless every business on this line. Bless every ministry that is connected to this line. And thank God that no trial, trauma, or tragedy has been connected to anyone that we know, Father God. And
thank
you. Keep us covered. Your grace and your mercy, Father God. These new infections and these new man-made diseases that are just popping up, Father God, we just ask that you would just cover everyone's immune system and keep us safe, Father God, so we can travel and do what we need to do and not allow the enemy to just pull us back into fear and staying home and not being able to travel the way we need to do your work, Father God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, God. We thank you. Hallelujah, God. We praise you. And we give you all of the honor, the glory. We exalt you and we extol you. Father, we thank you for the seeds that have been sown tonight. We thank you for the prayers that have been prayed. And we thank you, God, for this last prayer that we're going to offer up to you. And we cover this radio network with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. And I cover each of these women of God with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ. Now, God, you said in your word in John 14:14, that if we ask anything in Jesus' name, that you would do it. So we ask in Jesus' name that you would release the power in the blood of Jesus to flush out all of the sin, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the resentment, the anger, the hurt, the pain, the shame, all of the things that we talked about. But God, we want to identify the spirit of heaviness that has been weighing on the single parents. And we talked about everything, but we didn't talk about how tired they get sometimes. We didn't talk about the heavy weight on their shoulders. We didn't talk about the tightness in the chest because the spirit of Python is trying to suffocate them and suck the very life out of them. So this prayer that we're praying now, we are touching and agreeing, oh God. But we're asking in the name of Jesus that you would release them from the spirit of heaviness and loose the garment of praise and the oil of joy and the spirit of gladness. We pray right now, oh God, that you would release an anointing on this message that somebody is going to listen and they are going to reach out to this woman of God for direction, for help. And so as we cover them with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, we thank you right now for the walls that are falling down and the prison doors that are opening up and the captives that are being set free. We thank you that the blood of Jesus is working for them. The blood of Jesus is speaking for them. The blood of Jesus is fighting for them. We pray that you would go before single parents and that you would make the crooked places straight, but that you will equip them, that you will empower them, that you will help them to be all that they need to be for their children, but that they will also be who they need to be for you and who you called them to be, because many single parents lose their identity because they make so many sacrifices for their children. But we just want to say thank you, and we praise you, and we give you all of the honor. We give you all of the glory. We give you all of the praise. And we praise you, oh God, for all of our children. We thank you for Deborah. And she says she is the mother of four kings. And we pray for her kings. We pray that you will bless them, that you will be with them, and that you will protect them. And I pray the same thing for Leisha's children and all of the panelists. And, Father, we just thank you and give you all of the honor. We place a seal on these prayers, and we say, in Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen.
So God bless you, ladies. Thank you so much, and have a blessed night and a wonderful weekend.
Yes, you everyone too. Have a wonderful stay safe.
You too.
All right, you too.
Bless
God bless
everyone.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.